In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I wanted to read from Jeremiah to begin with. Jeremiah is going to be chapter 1, starting at verse 4 through 19. And it can be found in your Pew Bible on 1168, 1168. Jeremiah 1, 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." We're not talking about me here. Continuing. "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me. "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again. "What do you see?" "I see a pot that is boiling," I answered. "It is tilting toward us from the north." The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. I stand up and say to them, 'Whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them.' Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you, and I will rescue rescue you, declares the Lord. Our second reading is found in your bulletin. We're going to be reading together Psalm 71, and we'll be reading the verses 1 through 11 responsively, and they're all printed in your bulletin. So as we begin reading Psalm 71, it says, In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me.
Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel.
For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth.
From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you.
I'm a sign to many. You are my strong refuge.
My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long.
Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone.
For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together.
They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Next reading is from the epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 31 through chapter 13, verse 13, and can be found in your pew Bible on pages 1786. 1786. 1 Corinthians 12, 31 through 13, 13. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all my mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I have nothing.
If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You see, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We know in part that we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I, only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now, I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, these three important things remain: faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4. Glory to you, O Lord. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his word had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. We know what you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders of impure spirits, and they come out?" And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because this is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I pray that the scripture would enlighten the hearts and your minds to know the height and the breadth and the width and the depth of the love of God that he has for you in his Son Jesus. Amen. Our sermon today comes from our gospel reading of Luke. And in the 1980s, there was a rock band called Missing Persons. And they had a hit song, and part of the lyrics goes like this: "What are words for when no one listens anymore? What are words for when no one listens? What are words for when no one listens? It's no use talking at all. Do you hear me? Do you care? Do you hear me? Do you care?" You know, sometimes I recite this jingle to my students because after I get done giving explicit instructions on what they're supposed to be doing, they say, "Mr. Gallagher, what are we supposed to do?" However, words do have meaning. They have meaning when a teacher gives instructions. They have meaning when
a police officer pulls you over and says, "May I see your driver's license and registration?" They have meaning when a firefighter tells you that you must evacuate now. Words have meaning when you stand before a judge and he orders you to pay a fine or sentences you to some time in jail or prison. Nonetheless, God's words are authoritative. After the northern 10 tribes of Israel were conquered by the Assyrians, God commissioned Jeremiah to speak to the two remaining tribes, particularly Judah, who would later be conquered by the Babylonians. And God spoke to Jeremiah with authority when he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." You see, Jeremiah responded by stating that he doesn't know how to speak and that he is just a youth. And of course, at this point, God could have said, "Well, it was just a suggestion. You know, I'm just a life coach." No, the Lord did not entertain Jeremiah's excuses, but he exercises his authority as well as his encouragement. The Lord responded and said, "Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." Therefore, by God's own authority, he touched Jeremiah's lips with his words to tear down the nations and to build them up. "The kings, princes, priests, and all the people might fight against you, but I, the Lord, will deliver you by my authority." And in our gospel reading this morning, we read about Jesus demonstrating his authority over demon-possessed people and people who were sick. His disciples and his followers would know this is why he did this, so that his disciples and his followers would know that he was the Messiah, the chosen one. And so Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a city in Galilee, to teach in the synagogue. And Jesus' teaching was far superior than anybody else's teaching had ever been. Luke recorded, "They were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority." The closest thing that you have today is faithful pastors to proclaim the good news of Jesus and to proclaim the good news that Jesus died and rose again for you. To announce to you through word and sacrament that you have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You've been washed in your baptism, and you are fed here at the altar to nourish and strengthen you. And while Jesus was in the synagogue, there was a demon-possessed man, and Jesus ordered the demon to come out of him. And interestingly enough, the demons knew who he was. You might think about that for a minute. How did they know who he was? Well, they knew him in heaven before they were cast down to this earth to wreak havoc on this earth. And the demons responded and said, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." You see, Jesus told them to be quiet because his time to go to the cross had not yet come. The people of the synagogue, they were amazed, weren't they? They were amazed at the fact that these spirits listened to Jesus. By his authority, he commanded them to come out. And the people reacted. "What is this message? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And after Jesus leaves the synagogue, he arrives at Simon's mother-in-law's house. Simon's house, and his mother-in-law is very sick and running a fever. And the disciples asked Jesus to heal her. And Luke documented this morning, and standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she immediately got up and waited on them. You see, when we have the flu, it might take a couple days to recover. We might not get our appetite back for 3 or 4 days. Or maybe when somebody has an epileptic seizure, it might take them 3 or 4 days to recover. However, Simon's mother-in-law immediately got up and served them. And we can infer from this text that she got up and she started serving appetizers and beverages and a full course meal. And notice, she got up and served them with no ill effect. It appears that right after her healing, all her vitamin counts were perfect. There were no signs of diabetes. There was no high cholesterol. No, by Jesus' authority, Simon Peter's mother-in-law was completely healed. And later, Jesus pronounced that, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogue of Judea. And Jeremiah too, wasn't he sent to preach to all of Judah? He said, God said, "They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you." And we too have been given this great commission to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And just as those who have gone before us, who suffered persecution and resistance, we also are to go out as sheep among wolves. By our Lord's authority, we have been given the keys of the kingdom to either loose or bind here on earth. If they hear our message, we are to sup with them and make disciples. Yet if they reject us, we brush the dust off our feet and move on. How are we to do this, you might ask? In love. We do it in love. If we do not do it in love, our message is but a clanging gong and a clanging cymbal. You know, social media is brutal in this way, because you can just hide behind a screen. People often post things just to hear their own voice or to be right and win an argument. Sometimes they think they're the only dog and pony show in town. And how often do we engage in some of these same types of things? How often do we debate just to show off our theological superiority? How frequently do we engage just to prove that we are right? How many times do we, just like the sound of our own voice, in person and on the internet? And Paul says, this shouldn't be, because love is patient and kind and long-suffering. Love doesn't brag, nor is boastful, nor arrogant. Love rejoices in righteousness, truth, and endures all types of sufferings. Therefore, love never fails. In Greek, there are 6 different words for love. In English, we only have 1 word. But this word that Paul uses here is the greatest of all the words for love. It's agape love. It's the unconditional love. The unconditional love that God demonstrated here for you on the cross at Calvary. That by his mercy, you are now freed from your sins. You are now freed to go out and preach the message to a dying and decaying world. Therefore, this unconditional love for you was publicly displayed for you here on the cross. And by the Father's will and by his authority in his own Son. Listen to these words from the Gospel of John. For I did not speak by my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. And as Jeremiah was given authority this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and to plant. You see, God here in your baptism has plucked down and destroyed sin for all eternity. It no longer has dominion over you. You have now been made a slave of righteousness. And as Jeremiah was commissioned to build up and to plant, God, in a moment here, this morning, is going to plant his bread and his wine on your lips to reassure you that you are his. Here at the baptismal font, by his authority, he has deemed you a new creation in him. By his authority, he promises to be here at the altar. He promises to be at the table each and every Sunday. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. As a called and ordained servant of his word and by his authority, I announce to you the full forgiveness of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
rise and recite the Apostles' Creed, the creed that the church has recited for hundreds of years. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered in the Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died in his burial. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the baptized. Amen.
Please pray with me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, and for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the for all pastors in Christ, for all missionaries and church workers, for all the people of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the faithful preaching of the cross, for the Spirit to prepare the hearts of those who hear, and for the proclamation of Christ to bear the fruit of faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For works of love to accompany the witness in words, for those who show forth the mercy and compassion of God to those in need, and for the witness of hope in a world of fear and anxiety, let us pray to the Lord. For Donald, our president, for Gavin, our governor, for all elected and appointed public servants, and for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. For the health and support of the sick, and for the care of those near death, for those who are on our hearts right now, especially Bill and Rosie, Renee, Michael, and John, and those we name in our hearts or out loud right now. We pray that they may be sustained in their afflictions, healed according to the Lord's gracious will, and brought to perfect healing in the life to come. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who will wait from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, for our stewardship of the earth and all the resources God has provided, and for the honest labors in which the Lord is glorified and our families and neighbors are served. Let us pray to the Lord. For our deliverance from all human and natural disasters, for an end to war and pestilence, and for relief workers in their service to those so afflicted, let us pray to the Lord. For the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ. Let us give thanks to the Lord and for us to follow them in their faithfulness, especially under persecution and threat. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Now, rejoicing in the fellowship of the saints, remembering God's mercy and his present help in time of need, let us commend ourselves, one another, our supplications and prayer, and indeed our whole life to Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray with me. Blessed are you, O Lord,
our God, maker of all things, creator of the universe, with us, with us. We commit ourselves to your service, and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him, in the age of our lives, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and necessary.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, sharing our life. He lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ. He took the bread and he gave thanks, and then he broke it, giving it to his disciples and saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his triumphant coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
that unclean lips made clean, not by our own effort, but by his perfect work that was worked on that cross for all who believe. The table's set. I've heard you confess him as Lord and Savior. As a baptized believer, come. The table is prepared. You may be seated, and the ushers will bring you forward. That before we got started, didn't we, Chris? We prayed over you. The Lord prays over us. Isn't that great? He sings a song over us. Today, we were served by him, his body, his blood given for us. Thank you for bringing that home and delivering it to us, Chris. It was well done, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through you. And now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling on 315. Go Patriots and Rams.